Thank you all for joining us here on Zoom for the February meeting of the Senior Statesmen of Virginia. We apologize. We're starting about 9 minutes late because we had some technical issues with the Zoom, which happens all the time. I'm sure everybody's gotten used to those over the last couple of years. Today's program is about moving forward with equity in our community, and we're pleased to be joined with Elizabeth Beasley, who's with the University of Virginia. She has been there since 2016, where she served as the lead for community-based relationships to improve overall health and well-being at UVA Health. And she's also with the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at UVA. We're also joined by Putnam Ivy DeCortez, a native of Nelson County. She joined Albemarle County's Office of Equity and Inclusion, OEI, in June of 2021. So we're going to go ahead and start the program right now. We're going to begin with Elizabeth. Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing with diversity, equity, and inclusion at UVA, and I guess begin with what specifically is equity. Give us some definitions for what we're talking about.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for having me here today with you all. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to sit with my former colleague, but longtime friend, Putnam Ivy DeCortez. And we thought when we were kind of hanging out, waiting to kick off with you all, I wondered how many of you are familiar with the term equity and what that means. I think there's a common misunderstanding that when we say the word equity, we think equal, when in fact, that is not the true definition. And that's not the way that we apply it in the world of community development and community building, which is what both Putnam and I have the privilege and opportunity to have done in our career so far. So there's a lot of different images on the web that I think do a nice job at illustrating what equity looks like. And I'll do my best to try to describe it, but maybe while I am, you all can just jot down equity and then Google images later. And there's one in particular where you would see perhaps a set of three children, and they are looking over a fence, a wooden fence, out onto a baseball field. And all of the kids, if you think about equity, all of the kids are on, or equality, excuse me, they're on stands that are the same size. And so that means if there's a child who's shorter or taller and there's a fence, just because the stand is the same size doesn't mean that they're all going to be able to see the game. So equity, if you think about it in the term of meeting people where they are with the resources that they already have, the agency that they already have or don't have, it's about applying a different approach so that everyone has sort of the level view, the level playing field. So if you think about it in terms of height, the shortest kid might have a taller box. So the idea is everyone would have a box that fits their particular needs, meets them where they are, and allows them all to see the playing field. So when you think about justice, it's about removing the fence altogether. So the point is, equity is a very intentional way of leveling and creating the opportunity for more people to see the game or even participate in the game, depending on the analogy that we're talking about. There's also a lot of other images out there that can describe and illustrate this idea better than I can articulate it. So there's bicycles and different kinds of bicycles. There's a ladder and apple tree. So take your pick. There's lots of choices. But the thing that I really wanted you all to grasp is that when we say equity, we don't mean providing the same thing for everyone. We mean meeting people where they are and adjusting the provisions based on their current needs. I'll stop there. And and just say again, I'm grateful to have this opportunity to talk with you all. I would like to share some slides that are just very generic, but I think it might be nice for you all to see something other than my face. In order for me to be able to do that, I'm going to pause and pull up my little slide deck here and start at the top. So you all, when you reached out, said, we want to know how UVA is moving forward with equity. What a bold request and a big thing to answer. So I'm just going to focus today on my lane. And that is, I recently joined the Division for Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Community Partnerships back in May. And I get to continue to do the community building that I've been privileged to do since 2005, really, when I came to Charlottesville with the Division of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion. And there's just a lot of really wonderful colleagues in my department, and we get to work across our institution and with our community as well in a lot of different veins. I want to start with sharing that above all and everything, I'm a proud mama to four beautiful little girls, May, Ruthie, Sarah, and Lou, and they are my why and really what keeps me going every day when sometimes the work is complicated and hard. So starting with them always helps me to kind of relax my nerves when I can't see any of your faces. So again, I want to share some background, and that is about 2018, when President Ryan joined the University of Virginia, he was really interested and passionate about thinking of the ways in which the university could be a stronger partner in relationship to the local Greater Charlottesville community. And so, like right when he got here to Charlottesville, he charged a group of both community members and representatives from UVA across the organization to work closely with the community to identify, or shall I say, affirm some of the priority areas that the university could work in partnership on improving. So here you have just a quote from President Ryan. This was in one of the articles that came out. He said, strengthening the relationship between UVA and the surrounding Charlottesville Albemarle community is one of my top priorities as president. The President's Council on University Community Partnerships and the affiliated working groups are helping us engage with our community partners and make our community as strong and equitable as possible. So again, kind of going back to the word equity and thinking about what does equitable mean? It means that we're intentionally creating opportunities to leverage the resources of our community writ large to create the partnerships that allow more of us to achieve well-being and success. So the work of the President's Council and the current formation of it is really an exciting and intentional way that the university is saying, hey, we see ourselves as an anchor institution in this community. We have a ton of employees that are in this community. We have a ton of opportunities to really be intentional about hiring and pathways and the local economy in general. And so, you know, what are the ways that we can leverage all of the amazing resources both in the community and that are part of our institution to really create a stronger landscape for everyone. And so that's what I get the privilege of being a part of every day. And that's one way that we're really intentionally moving forward with equity. Moving right along. So I mentioned the President's Council. Through the initial community engagement and identifying priority areas where we can be better together, stronger together, there were over 3,000 residents who were engaged in that process. And the community really did affirm much of what we've heard over the last 10, 15 years. And that is that there's tremendous opportunity in being more intentional about investing in relationships on pipelines and pathways, which is really jobs and wages, the local economy. So thinking about the ways in which the university is sourcing from vendors and contractors, whether it's a building project or a web design project, there's tremendous opportunity there for us to be more intentional about, you know, thinking about just local vendors, for example. And then also, of course, being more intentional around small women and minority-owned businesses, otherwise known as SWAM. Another priority area that came out of this work was the public health care, just the state of that. And yes, I know when we say public health, that's extremely broad. It can be so many different things. And I think that's something, you know, Putnam and I have spent a lot of time in our careers focused in on, so we can talk about that all day long. In addition, there were two more: early childhood education and affordable housing. And so once the working group published those as the priority areas, soon after, the Board of Visitors and Jim announced not only a minimum wage increase to $15 an hour, and that's not just for university staff, but also contract workers, which was a big lift. And we're really proud of that accomplishment and thankful for the folks that worked really hard to make that happen. They also announced that there would be an opportunity to engage more deeply with the community on some of these other ongoing issues around the local economy, the early childhood education, so on and so forth. And then they most recently announced that they were going to be giving land to allow for the development of more affordable housing in our community. So the range is between 1,000 and 1,500 units over the next 10 years. So that's really exciting because we also know that's a huge need. So with that being said, those are, again, some of the short term, but are going to take a while to get it right, opportunities where thanks to the relationships and the folks and the expertise that have engaged with UVA on what these areas look like in terms of ways that we can improve, we are making some really exciting progress. So there are several different community working groups that are focused on the different areas that I discussed. So each working group is charged with doing some research and then developing a set of recommendations for how UVA can more formally partner with the community to make progress in these areas. The Pipelines and Pathways Working Group, I believe, is at the closest stage of producing those recommendations and sharing those with the President's Council. And so we're hungrily awaiting those recommendations to see, you know, what policies and systems might be put into place to help us be more intentional around not only the door or the window to get employed by the university, but in addition to that, climbing the career ladder and building wealth, you know, building wealth to allow for more agency and, you know, thinking about reducing poverty. So that's just one very specific example. In addition to these working groups, there were some other really exciting investments made. And one of the critical ones was creating the Center for Community Partnerships, which is sort of like it's a virtual hub in that it connects entities within the institution who are intentionally applying these good neighbor ethics of practicing humility, pursuing the mutual benefit of the partnership and building the authentic, sustained partnership. It's been really cool to be a part of it. So my office is located at the old Albemarle Hotel building on West Main Street. And I am here on the fourth floor with my colleagues in the Equity Center. And also we have space for UVA Health's community engagement diversity office. We share space with the memorial, the descendants of the enslaved laborers who do their research and work here. It's a very collaborative, exciting space to be a part of. And when the council came to fruition, the university also funded the Equity Center, which I think is one of the most exciting new centers in at UVA. And really, they are taking some of the past missteps that we're aware of in terms of UVA's relationship with the local community and ensuring that any research efforts that are working directly with community partners, that the community is really at the center and the driving force behind progress that gets made. So I won't go into a lot of detail about the Equity Center, but I would just say if you're curious about their work, please visit their website and check out what they're doing. They have they're making really exciting progress in terms of, you know, how to center community when we talk about research, which is of course one of the main parts of the university's mission. So I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to go to my final slide, which is a little bit more about the Center for Community Partnerships and some of the areas in which we currently focus. And I would just say that this equity, the word equity, really undergirds a lot of what we do, and in a broader context is really you know, how we see ourselves in relation to the ways that we will work with our community. And I appreciate your time. I'm going to stop talking because I want to give Putnam time, and I want you all to have your questions answered. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Elizabeth Beasley with UVA. We're going to be joined now with Putnam Ivy De Cortez, who's with the Albemarle County Office of Equity and Inclusion, to talk about their work. Putnam?
Thank you so much. I noticed in the chat that there's a question just asking to confirm the difference in definition between equity and equality.
Absolutely.
If I could throw that right back to Elizabeth, just to make sure we're all on the same page.
Sure. Okay. So I have to do this by telling a story, if that's all right. And Putnam, you get to be a part of the story because we worked together at the time. So way back in the day, when Putnam and I worked at the health department, one of my charges was I was working to develop health promotion programming. And oftentimes when we developed health promotion programming, we were cheerleaders in what we would say around health behaviors. So we were sort of operating under this ideal of, if we just educate the community about the good behaviors that they can do, then they'll eat more fruits and vegetables, in theory, right? I mean, that sounds like a very naive way of looking at my work, but that was what I did. And did I have a humbling learning in that process. So we were developing a social marketing campaign to promote eating more fruits and vegetables. We had this cute little slogan, and we had all of this beautiful marketing and collateral material that we would disseminate to our community and hope that with putting that messaging out there to everyone, that's an equal opportunity, that they could then eat fruits and vegetables, right? So everyone gets the same message. There may be some very targeted messaging to reach different cultural groups, to reach people of color and Latinx, so on and so forth, but everyone gets the same message. And there's sort of a two-part lesson in this. The learning is that when you assume that kind of outcome, you're usually wrong, because we assumed that everyone had the resources to be able to do that health behavior. But what we know now and what the science tells us is that, you know, health and well-being, only, I want to say 30% of it is about health behaviors, and the rest is all about what social factors are at play. And so if I can tell you, go eat your fruits and vegetables, but you don't have the means to procure fruits and vegetables because perhaps you have to make a decision between paying your electric bill and purchasing your medication, buying the more expensive food is not going to be as high on your Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So that is a very specific example of how applying a one-size-fits-all approach will result in only a certain part of your community being able to take advantage of that approach, and others falling behind or not having that opportunity. And then the organization in which you are representing appearing to be and acting in a very tone-deaf way. So that's one example. Equality is like the same thing for all. Inequity is thinking about meeting people where they are, really understanding the resources that they may or may not have access to, and creating opportunities to allow those individuals to also have success and agency over their wealth or their well-being. Long-winded answer. Something I've been humbled by learning.
Thank you, Elizabeth. We're going to turn it over to Putnam Ivy De Cortez. Putnam, please let us know about what Albemarle County is doing regarding its equity work in the county.
So again, my name is Putnam, and I work with the Office of Equity and Inclusion for the County of Albemarle. And as Elizabeth alluded to, we both have a background in community health, and I'm going to spend a couple slides on that. But even before that, back in the day, my first job out of college was in construction management. And so what I really wanted to talk about today was, I know the title of our talk is Moving Forward with Equity in Our Community, but I actually want to stop for a second and share with you all information about an equity profile for the county, because I think it's really helpful in establishing a foundational understanding of what equity and conversely inequities look like in our community. And so we're going to actually spend some time building a foundation, and then I promise I will wrap back around at the end to talk about some of the initiatives that we're working on. So here in our office, we always try to bring things back to the mission of the county, which is to enhance the well-being and quality of life for all community members through the provision of the highest level of public service consistent with the prudent use of public funds. And so I think that piece of enhancing well-being and quality of life for all community members is really important, because as Elizabeth said, equality is about giving everybody the same thing. Equity is about understanding that people have different opportunities and resources. And so we want to make sure that we are giving opportunities and support to everyone that's in our community. And so that is really where we focus, and we bring back all the work that we do to the mission of the county as a whole. So I promised you a little bit in the public health, community health world. I think when we're talking about well-being and quality of life, like Elizabeth said, it's really important to understand social determinants of health, which are the conditions and the environments where people are born, live, learn, work, play, and age that affect their health, functioning, and quality of life. And so that can be everything from education, both in terms of access to education and the quality. It can be about economic stability and jobs. It can be certainly about your health care, the neighborhood you live in and the environment around you, and then also the social and the community context that you live within. And Elizabeth referenced this. This is one of my favorite graphics. I don't know that I've ever done a presentation and not included this graphic. But when we are thinking about health, I go to a lot of meetings and people tend to think about health in a very individual way. So my health is all about me and maybe the clinical care that I receive, both in terms of access to care or the quality of care that I receive if I have access. And then my personal individual health behaviors. But in fact, we know that that is about 50% of what affects people's health. And the other 50% is a whopping 40% social and economic factors, jobs, school, education, transportation. And then the other remaining 10% is the physical or built environment around people. So do I have clean air, clean water? Do I have a safe house to live in? Do I have a house that has good air quality and is free of lead and mold and other contaminants? And so really, when we're talking about how do we enhance well-being and quality of life for people, I really want to set that part of the foundation for that is understanding that absolutely, how I take care of myself is part of that, but a huge part of that is the resources you have, what surrounds you, and your community as a whole. And so we're really talking about people, and we're also talking about our community as a whole. So the rest of the time, I wanted to share with you all, if you Google Albemarle County Equity Profile, this should pop right up for you. But we actually worked with the Equity Center at UVA to come up with an equity profile for the county. And it was before my time, so I don't want to take credit for any of this. I'm just sharing it out with you all today. But it's really exciting. And I think, like I said, this is the foundation. This sets the foundation for the work we do by understanding who lives in our community, what our community looks like, and all these different factors that will affect well-being and quality of life within our community. So the framing in the equity profile, feel free to, like I said, Google and read it. If you're interested, I'm going to give you the highlights. The framework we use is something called the American Human Development Index. And it takes the concept, you know, a lot of times you'll see countries ranked or talked about in terms of their GDP or gross domestic product. This index says we need to go beyond the economic situation and also look at things like health, education, and housing to really understand well-being and quality of life in a community, in a county, in a country. So it's really looking at a full spectrum here. And it has three different main buckets that they call a long and healthy life. And the indicator they use for that is life expectancy at birth. The next bucket is access to knowledge. And so the indicators used are educational degree attainment and school enrollment. And then the final one is a decent standard of living, which looks at median earnings for an individual. And then they take that and where possible, say, also look through the lenses of geography within a community, neighborhoods, communities, look at gender, look at race and ethnicity. And then they have a health index, an education index, and an income index, basically a score for each that's combined into one American Human Development Index, or AHDI, for a locality or a state or a country. So you can see here, hopefully it's big enough on your screens. I'll just throw out a couple numbers here. The American HDI for the United States as a whole, which is again a composite score of those three different areas, health, access to knowledge or education and living standards or sort of income, is 5.35, excuse me. In Virginia, the number is slightly higher at 5.84. And in Albemarle County, it is even higher at seven. I believe that says 7.42, but I have a bar that is shading over it and I can't quite see. And then you'll see there of the localities that we have included for comparison, Fairfax is up there at 8.12. Again, Albemarle and County have somewhat higher life expectancy at birth than some of the comparison counties in Virginia and also as compared to the United States. And then you can see here, it's sort of highlighted in darker colors, especially, you know, Albemarle County has a fairly high percentage of people with a high school degree or more, and actually almost double the United States, which is at 33.1% for people with a bachelor's degree. In Albemarle County, 60.6% of adults 25 or older in our community have a bachelor's degree. And those numbers sort of continue. We have a very high percentage of people with graduate or professional degrees as well. So again, this is giving you a snapshot of our county within the context of the state. It looks like we're doing really quite well, really, really well. And then, you know, Virginia is generally a little bit higher on average than the United States as a whole. And we're going to come back to this and keep talking about it. We, for the most part, weren't able to utilize all of the lenses of gender and race and ethnicity at the same time as we were looking at the geographies. So the information that I'm going to share is mostly about different geographies or communities in our area. But I wanted to give you this historical view, which I find fascinating. Here you'll see on the screen, the purple line is the white population of Albemarle County since 1790, which was the first time the United States did a comprehensive census. And then here in the light blue is the population of people of color. And you'll see back in 1790, both of those populations were hovering around 50% and stayed that way until the late 1800s, and then really diverged after 1900. And the white population became 80%+ of the population, and people of color, that population really shrunk. The other thing to take away from here is that you will see, however, in the last few decades, Albemarle County has again become more diverse, and we are seeing more people of color in our area in the last few decades. Also, someone mentioned it at the beginning of our meeting, age. And I know this group, you have recently, I think, had a community conversation about age-friendly communities. That's another area, much like most parts of the country. Our county has also seen an increase in older adults that live in our area. And so that is something to think about. Again, equality is giving everyone the same thing. Equity is giving people, meeting them where they are, providing what they need to have a healthy and well life. And so I think when you think about that, right, what a high school student might need versus someone who's in their 30s, professional career, versus someone who's retired or someone who is in their 80s, those populations may need different things. And so it's really important that we understand who is living in our community. So I am not a data person, but I really enjoy data. So again, it's hard for me to get through a presentation without some graphs and some maps and some numbers. The equity profile takes and looks at data at a census tract level. And if you're like me, census tracts don't have much to do with your daily life. They're not the same as the magisterial districts that we have to elect Board of Supervisors members. And they're typically assigned a number, which you see here on the screen. We, for purposes of the equity profile, assigned names that represented either a neighborhood or sometimes a road or an area that is well known within that census tract. So for example, here, this teeny weeny little one, 108 is where Albemarle High School is. So that should sort of give you a sense of what is in that area versus up here at the airport or pre-Union Ivy Crozet, fairly self-explanatory. So again, this may be a little small on your screen, but these are the results of the American Human Development Index for the different census tracts in Albemarle. So again, Albemarle as a whole was at 7.42. And what you see here is the purple dots are the composite score of all three different buckets, health, education, and income. And then the red dots are the individual score for health, which is looking at life expectancy. The orange dots are the education, the access to knowledge. And the green dots are income. So for the most part, most of these census tracts tend to have uniformly high or medium or low values. So they tend to cluster for the most part. But then you'll see some here. I find this really interesting. North Garden, followed by Ivy, then Earliesville, then Crozet have the highest index scores in our county, whereas Southern Albemarle, the Commonwealth and Hydraulic neighborhoods, and then the Old Oak Hill, Old Lynchburg Road areas have the lowest scores. But if you look here at Earliesville, and I can't tell you why, I don't know, their life expectancy numbers are really quite low and their education numbers are quite high. And so their composite score overall is quite high. So I just point that out. You can look at it here, and then if you switch to the right side of the screen, the map where we have the names, the darkest purple colors represent the highest scores, and the going down into the lavender, the dark blue, and then the lightest blues are the area that have the lowest scores. So again, you can sort of look at it as points on a graph, or you can look at the map here and see how things are clustered. If we dive into life expectancy between the Oak Hill and Old Lynchburg Road neighborhoods and North Garden, there's 11.6 year gap in life expectancy. So that's pretty significant. That's an entire decade plus of living. And again, the map here, it is not labeled, but it's representing the darker red is higher life expectancy and the lighter reddish pink is lower life expectancy. This was an indicator that we were able to look at by race. In the county of Albemarle, Black people have a life expectancy of 77.8 years. White people are at 83.4. Hispanic folks at 90.9, and then Asian at 92.1. The overall average is 83 years. One thing I'll just point out here is because Asian and Hispanic people are a smaller population in our area, these estimates are not as exact. And so this bar here represents that it could actually be with anywhere within that range. You'll see here the bars are much clustered. And then the last indicator, a standard of living. The American AHDI looks at your personal income, but a lot of times what we'll see, we're used to talking about is the median household income, which at the time of this report was $86,000 and change. But what you'll see here, again, is if you look at the median household income by census tract, the dark green is higher and it goes up to $130,000 median household income down to, it's actually $41,000. So that's a pretty big range when you are looking at the different census tracts within our community. That is a hugely different amount of money for a household to be working with. This is not part of the American Human Development Index, but it's another indicator that I find really powerful put out by the National United Way called ALICE, asset limited, income constrained, but employed. And it basically says, okay, median household or individual income is one thing, but what is the cost of living in a community? Because depending on that, how much you make could be a lot or a little. And so Alice looks at people who are categorized by the federal government as living below the federal poverty level, which is typically a fairly low amount of money. But the Alice report comes in and says, okay, well, you might not necessarily be in poverty according to the federal government, but you still might not have enough money to live well. And so they put together what they call a survival budget, which basically means you have enough money for your housing, for your childcare, transportation, other daily regular costs of life that you just have to pay. And then they look at the cost of living in different localities and say, okay, well, in Albemarle County, if you have a family of four, two adults, two school-aged children, you're going to need $75,000 just to survive. Whereas if you're a family of four with two adults and two kids in childcare, you need $96,000 just to survive, not to thrive, just to basically pay what needs to be paid. And so I think when we start looking at that, it's really powerful information to understand just how much it might cost to live and raise children, especially in our area. This is looking at it slightly differently. Here, it's looking at, in the dark green, people who are below the federal poverty level. In the medium green here is people who are sort of in that Alice area of really struggling to meet their basic needs of living. And then folks in the lighter green who are indeed able to meet those costs. And so you can see here, this we were able to break down by magisterial district, meaning the groupings of where you vote for your board of supervisor member. Okay, so we're coming to the end here. Why does this matter? So I told you this for me is the foundation of the work we do. You have to understand the community you live in to do the work, right? To understand who you're serving and how, you know, again, if we go back to our mission of enhancing well-being and quality of life, we've got to know who lives here and what things look like and how things are different from one place to the other. So here, certainly if you Google Albemarle County Equity, our office comes up and you're welcome to read more information. But I just wanted to highlight a couple things. When we're doing internal work, our office provides training for staff. We use this equity profile as the foundation for our work and couple that with a framework for teams and programs and projects and initiatives to sort of think through what they're doing and how equity might apply to that and say, okay, apply an equity lens to the work you're doing, whether that's in day-to-day interactions with customers or how might we build equity and inclusion into long-term projects. And so I really see our role as supporting the work of divisional subject matter experts who are doing their work and just saying, here are some tools we have. How can we apply equity? How can we build in equity and inclusion as part of the work you're doing? And then we also have multiple community initiatives. We did an equity roadshow, getting out and talking to people, engaging with them across the county. We have a community center coordinator out at BF Yancey Community Center in Esmond. We have worked on several community remembrance projects, including a traveling soil exhibit, historic markers in the community that celebrate the lifetime and achievements of women and people of color, and also have worked with the Monacan Indian Nation on some Monacan remembrance, and continue to host quarterly community reads, where it's basically a community book club on different topics, sort of bringing to light people's stories and voices that may not have typically been represented and sort of the narrative we tell about our community. So that's a little bit of the snapshot of the work we do. And as I kept saying, I look at the equity profile as a foundation for our work. And I wanted to throw in, I will tell you, this is not my area of expertise, but many of you have probably heard the county is embarking on a comprehensive plan update. And so I think this is a great example of applying the equity lens to the work you do. This process is going to have a working group where community members are invited to apply to become part of the working group and will be engaged really in this process for the next few years. The applications, if you're interested, are due on Monday, February 28th, and the link is there below. You can read a little bit more about it here, but the reason I mention this is because historically, there have been groups, populations, communities of people in our county that have not been well represented in this process. There are lots of barriers, right? And so really our work is saying, well, how can we invite people into this process? How can we make space and reduce as many barriers as possible so that people who are excited by this type of work can join and participate and bring their experience and their perspective so that we have a stronger project at the end that again represents all members of our community, not just people who typically might have time to really engage in a process like this. So I am going to stop there. I think I've well gone over my time, but thank you all for listening and sticking with me.
All right. Thank you, Putnam. I want to ask everybody if they could go to the Q&A section of their Zoom if you're participating in this webinar and type in some questions that you might have. I have a question for Putnam. I don't know if you can answer this, but it struck me that a family with four children who need childcare to survive in Albemarle County, it takes $96,000 a year, $75,000 for a family of four with school-age children. What can be done? What can be done about this to help people who might not be able to afford to live in Albemarle County?
Yeah, and I think that's a great question. I had a feeling someone was going to ask that me, and I'm going to punt a little bit, which is I am definitely not a community development expert. I'm not a land use and I'm not a housing expert. And so I think that's where I see the work that we do is really to advise and to work with either groups in our area or the different divisions here that are subject matter experts in that and really share information like this equity profile and talk about it and then provide support to sort of the applying an equity lens. But I definitely, unfortunately, don't have a solution for you. On the other hand, I feel like if I did have a solution, I might really, I'd be in high demand, I think, right? Although I welcome your comments from, I don't know if the audience can chime in, but I would love to know the answer to that.
Yes. And if anybody out there has some ideas, please contact your supervisor. Or Putnam. Elizabeth Beasley, I'm wondering what is the future of equity work look like at UVA specifically? What are your plans for the future?
Well, you know, I don't want to punt, but I will say I am not in the authoritative decision-making role here, but I think it's safe to say that at least in the seat that I have the opportunity to be in, we'll continue to foster opportunities to build relationships that provide opportunity for everyone and really centering the community and helping us to stay on the straight and narrow in terms of what those opportunities are and how we prioritize those opportunities. Because like Putnam mentioned, there's a lot of intersections with our work when we think about childcare costs, housing, so on and so forth. So, I don't have the answers, but I think, if we are willing to create more seats around the table, we might get there one day.
Excellent. And Putnam, maybe you can talk a little bit about the diversity, equity, and inclusion. How does all of that kind of come together? Maybe you've already answered that question.
Do you mean in the sense of how those things are different?
Yeah, or how they all work together?
Yeah, so my coworker did a session on DEI for people at work. And so, you know, diversity is about, again, it's about a group or a community. No one person is diverse. And so I think that that's about who we hire, who we have at the table, what our community looks like. Are we open and welcoming to people of all ages, shapes, sizes, and colors? Inclusion, right, is how you feel when you're at the table. And so are we both in our community, external facing community work, like the comprehensive plan update? Are we inclusive? Have we set up a process such that people feel like they are welcomed and could see themselves being a part of the process? And when they show up, are they treated well and with respect? And I think equity is really a little bit about how we get people to that table that Elizabeth was talking about. What are our strategies to really reach out to people that typically have not been included or whose voices haven't been heard? And so when we're talking about those three different things, I think there's always an educational and training component for staff, for community members doing events like this. And then there's also that work. And it's a little bit different work for each of those things. And I think the thing that's really tricky, and this is what we do a lot of, my colleague does weekly applying an equity lens office hours for staff to come and say, I'm working on a project. Maybe I've taken your DEI training. I've done an overview of the presentation that I just gave you all, but how do I actually get this incorporated into the work that I do? And the answer is really different. It was a slightly different thing when we worked in community health. I think it's different if you're working in community development, economic development, fire, rescue, police. There's such a specialization to each of those that the solution might be different for all of them.
And Elizabeth, would you like to answer the same question about the DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion training going on at UVA right now, and how things have changed over the last, 10 years or so?
Well, I can definitely speak to where we are today and how it's been really amazing for me to join the division. We have a new, he's not new anymore, but he joined, I think, in 2019, Kevin McDonald, who's the vice president for diversity, equity, inclusion, and community partnerships at UVA. And one of the amazing things that he brought to our organization is a framework for which we can not only guide ourselves with the idea around inclusion and the ways in which we will get there, but also the framework. It's so applicable and meets kind of any organization where they are in the process of their equity journey. And, there's a lot of different spaces that you can apply equity. There's the community building that Putnam mentioned just a minute ago. There's racial equity. There's jobs and wages inequity. So, I think the thing that I really appreciate about the Inclusive Excellence Framework is that it's something that can be applied to any facet of diversity, equity, inclusion efforts. It really meets organizations where they are in the journey, whether they're beyond the finish line or just starting or not even, haven't even thought about it. And for me, it's been wonderful to see this framework take off, not only at UVA, but also in a larger community and even at the state level. I don't know what's going to happen when we talk about word exchange and getting the word equity out and using opportunity instead. I mean, words matter, but also I think the work is always going to be there. And I don't think anyone would disagree with the notion that creating an inclusive environment for everyone is a bad thing. So I think we'll always have good work to do.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you very much, Elizabeth Beasley and Putnam Ivy DeCortez, today talking about moving forward with equity in our community. We do not have any questions in the Q&A, so I'm going to go ahead and sign off and leave it there. I want to thank our guests again, Elizabeth and Putnam. My name is Bob Beard with the Senior Statesman of Virginia. I want to thank all the people who've joined in to watch this program today. If you're interested, go to our website, seniorstatesman.org. And on behalf of our president, Sue Friedman, I want to thank everybody for sticking with us during some problems with the Zoom today. And be sure to join us for our March program, and we're going to be talking about a brand new community effort around the botanical gardens at McIntyre Park. Thank you for your time. Everybody have a wonderful afternoon.